Welcome to another episode of Under the Strap. I'm your host, John Radhouse. This is our first episode on iHeartRadio. Happy to be a part of the 8-Side Network. And it's PGA Championship Week at Southern Hills. So I called up my friend, longtime tour caddy, Tony Lingard. Tony caddied the last three major championships held at Southern Hills, including last year's senior PGA that was the first since the Gil Hands redesign of the course. We catch up on the ins and outs, what players will need to do well, and a few players we fancy, but the episode gives you a great idea of who Tony Lingard is. An Aussie native who grew up playing Aussie rules football and started caddying on the tour in the mid-90s, he's been on the bag for wins on the PGA Tour with Frank Licklider and Andre Stoltz, and managed over 40 top 10s in a span of 15 years. His nickname on tour, Top 10 Tony. And he's one of the most positive guys in the business, a long career that included a good stint with 2003 PGA Championship winner Sean McKeel. And remember the hole-in-one Tiger had during his Hello World debut in Milwaukee in 1996? Tony was in that group for his first signature moment as a pro. Enjoy the banter as we set the table for the PGA Championship. Welcome to another edition of Under the Strap, joined today by Tony Lingard, longtime caddy, one of my favorite guys to catch up with on tour. Thanks for the time. How you going?
I'm good, Johnny. How are you?
I'm well. It's good to see you again. We tried to do this last night. We had a few technical difficulties. Unfortunately, you had to get back to the Coyote Ugly Birds, which I'm sure you didn't hate.
They look pretty good, I tell you.
No, but I had a glass of wine set. It's all good. You're on your way to Tulsa for the PGA Championship, which is great. But I want to kick this off before we get to kind of your background and some golf. You were at the Kentucky Derby the other weekend. You know, how was that?
It was fantastic. I actually went to the Kentucky Oaks on Friday and then the Derby on Saturday. It's absolutely fantastic. A great sporting event.
Yeah, how does that atmosphere kind of compare to what we see at some of golf's biggest tournaments?
It's the biggest. It's the biggest by a mile. It's the atmosphere, the build-up is amazing. It's fantastic. When you're walking into Churchill Downs on Oaks Day and Derby Day, you go, hang on, we're here. This is it. You know, so it's really big. It's huge. Bigger than anything I've done with golf, crowd-wise, the Masters and U.S. Opens and British Opens.
Yeah.
It's bigger.
What do you get all dressed up for that then?
Yeah, we usually wear a suit and tie, yes. Scrub up. Nice. gotta fit in.
Well, they had a long shot winner. I mean, that was a heck of a race there at the end of the day. I guess, you know, what did you think about the last race? And then can you compare it to anything in golf in terms of that long shot of a winner?
It'd be like a first year player rookie with hardly any status getting in a PGA like John Daly did.
That's exactly what I thought.
That's what it is. It's Johnny Daly winning that PGA championship from first or second alternate and getting in. That horse wasn't in the field on Friday until Friday afternoon.
I know.
No one even looked at him. He was out there eating hay, having a rest. And they said, hey, by the way, you got to run tomorrow. And he wins.
Well, that's cool you were there. That's definitely a bucket list item. But first, let's get a little bit of background. Where are you from originally, Tony?
I'm from a small town called Euroa, 100 miles northeast of Melbourne. And predominantly played football. I was a Australian rules football. And got recruited to an AFL club when I was 16. Long time ago now.
Yeah.
And I always played cricket, played golf, played tennis, played the whole lot. So, and just, well, I always liked golf, just played like playing golf. I was never any good, unfortunately. But that's about it.
But the Aussie rules football, that was something that was never on my radar. And then one year I was in Boise, you know, caddying Corn Ferry event, and I was out with Shannon and Shorty, and we used to go to a bar there and watch the grand final.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the most interesting sports I've ever watched, really physical, a lot going on, I guess, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, that had to take a toll on you.
Well, it does, but you don't really think about it much when you're actually young and you're playing, you're training and you're playing. You just go out and play. You're not thinking about getting someone's going to clean you up and hurt you or anything like that. It's just, it's action, reaction, instinct. That's what you play on.
Yeah.
So it's not too bad.
Yeah. What was the position you played?
I was a defender. Then I was a winger as well. So I ran a lot. I ran all day. So that's usually what I played. But I could play up forward, try and kick goals, but they put me anywhere. I just played where they wanted me to play. I was happy to get a game, trying to make the big time.
Yeah. What was your team? What was the team you played on? What was it called?
That was the Melbourne Football Club.
Okay.
And I was in the junior grades back then. And they won the championship last year, Melbourne Football Club. Yeah. First time in about 45 years, I think. 50 years. Yeah. So they're a good club. Yeah.
So on the golf side, who do you remember kind of following? Did you follow any of the pro golfers growing up in Australia?
Yeah. Craig Parry.
Popeye.
Craig Parry, yeah. I love watching Craig play. Even when I was trying to make it into football, I used to watch the golf and love watching him play. And as it turned out, I caddied for him 3 times on tour, and it was great. I said, "Popeye, you're my favorite." He said, "Knock it off." I said, "No, I used to watch you on TV."
Absolutely. That guy's a legend.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah, great guy, Craig Parry, yeah. And, I think he won 20-odd times around the world. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good.
Some great golf courses over there too. I mean, what are some of your favorites that you've either been able to play or caddy over the years?
I was only on Royal Melbourne twice, and Huntingdale was another good one. Royal Sydney was very good as well up there. That was a good old traditional old golf course. But Royal, anybody can play Royal Melbourne or there's a tournament, it's as tough as nails. Really hard golf course.
Yeah, one of the best in the world. So then how did you get your way into caddying?
I was in East Hampton, out in the Hamptons, East Hampton. And I fell into a job club caddying. They asked me, do I know anything about golf? And I said, yeah, I know a little bit about golf. I play golf. And I went caddying, and they said, gee, you know what you're doing. I said, oh, well, it's pretty simple. So from there, I was at East Hampton. They sent me to Loxahatchee in Jupiter, Florida for the winter. That was my winter job, so that was all right. And then I got offered a job with Sean Murphy, and a player back in the day on tour.
Sure.
Yeah. That's how I started.
What year was that?
94.
Okay.
Early June 94, yeah. Went to Hartford, and we were paired with a Monday qualifier and a fella called Mac O'Grady. You might have heard of him.
I have heard of Mac O'Grady.
And Murph said to me, you know what you're doing and everything's good. Just do not move on the tee. Stand still, because this Mac O'Grady is a little out there. So that was my introduction to the PGA Tour.
That's crazy. I've heard stories about Mac O'Grady. Never met the guy, just heard stories. I mean, is there anything you can recall from that, from those first 2 days with him?
Yeah, because he's quite a nice fella.
Yeah.
Everyone would hit their tee ball, and he would grab the towel off the bag, and he'd jog out to the ball, put it down beside his ball, and start doing stretches with his back and hamstring. And I said to Murph, does all the guys on tour do this? He said, no, just Mac O'Grady. I thought, fair enough.
Yeah, your first time out, and you got the strangest pairing you could ever get on tour.
Well, the guy could have been, he was a good player. I mean, he's as good left-handed as he is right-handed.
I know. I heard that he tried. He's like one of the few guys, or the only guy, that's tried to qualify for Q school, both righty and lefty.
He just play, yeah. Natural. He's a natural, but just IQ of about 750 as well. Something like that.
Yeah, he's almost got like a little bit of Mo Norman in him too, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, he got something going on.
So you've caddied on all the tours. I don't know, you and I met each other in the mid-2000s, late 2010 or something like that. What? Tell me a few of the other people you've worked for throughout your career, and you know, some of the highlights that you've had along the way.
I started with Murphy, and then worked for Stuart Appleby a little bit early on, his rookie year. Sort of had a couple of different guys, and then I got offered a job with Frankie Licklider for two weeks. Frankie the Blade, yeah.
How was that?
It was good, actually. I had a two-week trial, and he played really well. And I said, thanks for the 2 weeks. He said, you've got the job if you want it. And 4 years later, it was good. And he played really good. I lasted 4 years with him, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, four years. Cool. And then I got offered a job straight away with Tom Byron, which was good. Tom's a good player, a nice fella. And working for a while, then I was just fixing up a house here in Colorado, which is where I am now. And I got offered a job with Sean McKeel for a week. It was the Western Open. And he ended up finishing seventh, and it was his first top 10 since the win of 2003. Okay. And he said, who are you working for? And I said, nobody. I've been fixing up a house. He said, oh, you're working for me. and 2022, still am.
Yeah, exactly. You circle back, things come full circle.
Yeah, we worked a long time. We worked well together. It was pretty good. He was a good player, though, you know.
Yeah.
But after him, you know, Ishikawa, when he came over, Ryo Ishikawa.
Okay.
He's a good player. It's been good. It's been really good, you know. Jeff Sluman on the Champions Tour a little bit.
Yep. Slew's good.
Yeah, good player.
So it's funny. I was doing a little Google search, and maybe I should have known that you weren't there at Oak Hills when I did that, but your name popped up, you know, a part of a story when you're looping for Sean at the match play in 09.
Yeah,
it was 09.
Yeah, that was 06. Yeah,
06.
Yeah, we had the world match play. We had Paul Casey on the ropes, and
this is the final.
He wanted to hit an 8-iron, and I said, no, you got too much club and downhill with wind and this and that. And anyway, hit an 8-iron, lost the hole, ended up losing the match, but he was going off his head. And the golf channel and all the everyone thought I'd give him the wrong number and this and that, but he hadn't listened. He even apologized after. I didn't listen to you.
Well, he said, don't say another word to me the rest of the day, and people didn't know what was going on.
Well, he actually didn't. Yeah, it was a little bit naughty words in there as well. You know what I mean? No, it's all right. I was like, well, it was funny. The funny thing about the whole thing, we get beaten. Okay. I go to Gatwick Airport and I go to the Admiral's Club for breakfast. I grab a newspaper, back page. I'm like, uh-oh, there was me. So I grabbed all the papers and it was all on the back pages. I'm like, holy dolly. Friends in Australia called me, what the hell's going on? I've said, bit of a mishap that cost us a tournament.
Yeah, but, you know, I respect, I mean, your style out there. You know, I was with Seamus at the Irish Open a few years back, and we were paired with Matt Wallace, and Dave McNeely was caddying for him.
Yeah.
And now Dave's with Alex Norr. I mean, like, old school, really good caddy. And I remember one hole they kind of bungled things up, and who knows why, and they got on the next tee, and Matt Wallace was just going on and on and on about it, riding him and stuff. And Dave said, stop. He's like, we're not talking about this anymore. Let's move on. Like, so sometimes, you know, I don't know, you're out there, you both have the same goal in mind, and, you know, and things get intense and heated. Sometimes you have to say stuff.
You have to say stuff. Oh, I've said stuff to Sean that I couldn't tell you. I can't say because it goes to air. I've said to him a few things, you know. That I thought were quite funny that he didn't think was funny at all. I mean, I really put it on him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because complaining and carrying on and this and that and the other. So, but he was a good player. He still is a good player.
Yeah.
But you have things that, I mean, look, it was a pitch and wedge, and I said it's a pitch and wedge. And he's hit an 8-iron over the back. We lost the hole. We end up losing the match. So.
And you've done some stuff on the LPGA Tour, though. That's kind of a little different setup. I've never caddied on the ladies' tour, I guess. How would you compare kind of how you present things, you know, to the girls?
It's a lot different. It's a harder job. It's a really harder job because they want more stuff done than the guys. They were asking questions, this, that, and the other, and you got to think about it. Well, hang on, let me have a look at that, because you're not even thinking about it. You're not even thinking about a run out or this or carry, but you know it's just a little different. That's all. They can all play. They're really good. They're good players.
Yeah. No, they're fantastic. I think a lot of people kind of, you know, you'll see a lot of the Monday morning quarterback, the guys that are like scratch golfers at their club, and they're like, oh, I could take these girls down.
No chance.
Yeah.
The thing about it is I think the only difference with the guys too is they practice too much. They practice way too much. Instead of less is more, because once you're already there, you're there. Mm-hmm. You know what you're doing. You're a professional golfer. You're in business, you know what I mean? You're not there. You didn't walk up and try and get a game. You know what you're doing.
Well, let's talk about the PGA a little bit this week. I mean, Southern Hills and Tulsa, awesome Perry Maxwell design. I recently renovated by Gil Hands. Phenomenal golf course. It looks really good. I've never been there, but I've seen a few of the championships. It looks so good. If you had to describe it to someone, what would you say about it?
It's just an old sort of traditional golf course. You really got to drive the ball good, and then hit it in certain spots on the greens. But it's a dog legs left, dog leg right. It's uphill a little bit on the tee ball. It's downhill in the second some, this, that. So you really got to be playing your ball very well. It was a good golf course. I think I did a US Open there, then a PGA, and then a senior PGA. But they've done the so it hadn't changed much in those three. But now, since last year, they've done a bit of work, but it's a good, it's a really good golf course. Just a good golf course. Like the number 10, it's a downhill par 4, dogleg right, but you hit a 3-wood, but your second shot, you really have to hit a good second shot. It's not a long iron.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an 8-iron, maybe a 9-iron, but you have to hit a good second shot.
Yeah, I saw it that, you know, the greens are really guarded. They're kind of smaller. There's some runoffs. I noticed the elevation changes. You mentioned the other times you'd worked there, and it has changed you know, from the first two times you worked there. In 2001 was the U.S. Open, Retief won.
Yep.
It was like crazy hot. Do you remember who you worked for that week?
Frankie Licklider.
Okay, the Blade.
Frankie the Blade. We missed the cut, but it was about 150 in the water bag. It was hot. And the greens were – fairways were as hard as the I-25, and so were the greens. And in 06 with McKeel, 07.
07, Tiger won.
Yeah, and it was – it was stinking hot. Yeah. At least it's going to be a bit more reasonable this week. So it's just a good old golf course. You just have to play, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But how much different from those first couple times you were there – to now, this redo with Gil Hands, like, is it a completely different golf course, or is it
still similar in the look? So it's going to be obviously a lot longer, and it's not going to be as firm. The ball's not going to be as running as much as the other two couple of times, because it was pretty firm last year in the senior PGA. It's like that number one hole, two shots downhill. Okay, but you have a pin on the if you don't hit the ball properly, your second shot into the green, because it runs back front to back. Mm-hmm. You can be 20 yards, the ball just runs off.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. And the second hole is a beauty, because there's a tree in the sort of left center of the fairway, and there's a little creek that goes this way. Yeah, look, where are we going to hit this bugger? Well, you got to hit it up there somewhere this way, you know. So you really have to strike your ball.
Yeah, I saw that one, and it reminded me of like a hole. It looked like a hole maybe out of Carnoustie or something, because they've got that creek that kind of meanders throughout the entire golf course. So then and the guys did say last year that they started to hit more drivers. Like when Tiger won in 07, he just like hit 2-iron because the ball was going forever. He hit to the corner of the dog leg. Stevie Williams was saying that was kind of their strategy. And then, you know, on the greens, he putted really well. And now it sounds like it's a little bit longer. You know, guys are going to maybe have to hit driver a little bit more. Some of the trees are cleared out. I mean, you mentioned that a few more drivers. I guess talk about off the tee, and then how impactful are those dog legs? out there?
You really got, like I said, you have to hit a good tee shots all the time in this course. Like this one hole, the one, like seven. Yeah, it's a going this way. It's uphill. The slope's this way. Trees are on the corner, but you can't hit it too far right. You run out. It comes in quickly. So you really got to drive the ball. You really have to drive it good all day, every day. Because you can get caught in spots and you're going to go, right, I'm in trouble here. And you're going to make bogey. You hope you make bogey.
Right.
Plus, it's going to be longer than the last year's senior PGA.
Right. I think it's playing like 7,300 yards, they said.
So what are we, I can't remember what it was. We had 69 last year, I think.
Yeah.
69 odd, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's a good golf course, but if you can just play steady golf, you're okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I did see the greens looked really small. And then what's the short game like? I mean, you mentioned like the first hole, for example, how you can kind of run off the green. I see all the bunkers. Like, is it something where you've got really awkward chip shots or can you manage your misses?
No, if you run, actually, if you do miss it and it goes over the back because you're coming back because the slope's this way, that's okay. Gentle slope back to front, like coming across you. So you can get up and down from the back. But it's just a good hole. It's just a gentle, it's just a good green. The bunkers are in front. Bunker on the corner there. Mm-hmm. The whole course itself, you really have to hit good shots. Like five the par five? Yes. Yeah. Dog leg around the corner.
Okay.
Hit a good tee shot. You lay up. You're hitting the third shot, and if it's on the right about 10 or 12 on, you're playing at 5 or 6 yards left of it, and a couple, two or three past it. Boom, boom, and come back this way. You have to hit. If you don't, you're going to go off the top up here, it'll come back over here. So even that's on a par five, if you can't get home in two. So
sure. I was fascinated about the greens a little bit. I would have assumed that they were just Bermuda grass. And then I was actually in a group caddying in the U.S. Open local qualifier the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Out at Omaha Country Club, which I want to bring this up because one of my favorite, we'll get back to what we were talking about. One of my favorite moments in my caddy career, and you did me a huge solid. I wanted to caddy in the U.S. Senior Open at Omaha Country Club. This is back in 2013. And you knew that. And you came to me one time, you said, I got a bag for you. Do you remember that?
No. Who did I give you?
You got me a bag. So you got me J.K. Kim, for the 2013 U.S. Senior Open.
How'd you get? You probably won, you bugger.
Yeah, we should have made the cut. We didn't. But this guy, it was his first ever, Korean guy. It was his first ever Champions Tour event. You know, he qualified. And he was a 5-time World Taekwondo champion.
Oh, boy.
So I said, well, when did you win? He goes, I win in 78, 79, 80, 81, 82. I was like, damn, you were pretty good. And he's like, yeah. And he's telling me how he used to run across guys' chests and like kick the last guy out and all this stuff. And he goes, I want to be golf champion now. And I was like, all right, let's go, JK.
So I got you the job.
You got me the job. Yeah. And you mentioned those girls that were practicing. He got there. The weekend before we probably played 72 holes before Monday. And we're on the 15 on Wednesday, final practice round. We're playing with Kenny Perry, who ended up winning, and Scott Hoke. And we're on this back par five, and JK's loving. He's on the rope line signing autographs, and I'm back down the tee box with those guys. And I said, hey, you guys know this guy can kick your ass. And I ended up, you know, like telling him what he used to do. And I said, you know, he told me he wants to be golf champion now. And Scott Hoke turned and looked at me and he goes, I think it's a little too late for that.
Well, you know what? Yeah, well, Scotty Hoke, yeah, he was a good player, Scotty Hoke. But Kenny Perry, boy, what a good player, huh?
Really good player.
A nice guy, though. Very nice guy, Kenny Perry.
I would see him and Sean have been pretty close guys, kind of from the same neck of the woods.
Yeah, good friends. Yeah. Yeah, I hang around with Kenny. I met Kenny a lot of times. It was good.
Hit that sweet draw. Okay, well then let's just get back to I'm fascinated about the greens there. They're bent grass because what I was saying is I was out there caddying the other day and there was a guy in our group that was playing and he had worked on the grounds crew in Tulsa at Southern Hills. And so I was asking him some questions about the place. And I said, man, I was surprised to hear those are bent grass greens. And he said, all the greens in Tulsa are bent grass greens. They're just kind of right there on the fringe of the climate zone.
Yeah.
I guess, what can you tell me about the greens and the way they putt?
They're really good. They're really good. They're good to putt on. They're quick, as you know, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. But they're really good. I thought they were good last year. I can't remember 01 and 07, but last year I thought they were good. I thought you hit a good putt. They held their line.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. Well, they weren't bouncing all over the joint.
Yeah.
I hope they did. There's one hole there. The green was bloody back to front up. I hope they changed that one. It was no good.
What about the 17th hole? I remember watching last year in the PGA and thinking that was a really exciting hole, kind of a drivable par four.
I thought it was a good hole with the creek in front.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good. You could hit a driver or you could hit a three wood. And I just thought it was a pretty good hole. I thought that was a well played hole. I hope they do it this week.
Yeah.
Because even those bunkers, you're still not guaranteed because of the design of the green. You're not guaranteed a three birdie.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. No, that'll be exciting coming down the stretch if it's a Saturday or Sunday. And
the 7th, the 18th, the only thing about the 18th tee ball is you have to hit you have to pick a spot and hit it. You know, and then that's
and
a
then
funny.
It funnel,
yeah, let it go kind of, this way.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a funny design, I thought.
Yeah, I remember noticing that. But then you talk about the elevation change. Lots of awkward lies out there. I mean, maybe a little bit Augusta-like. I mean, you rarely get a flat lie.
Rarely get a flat lie. Well, 18 is obviously uphill, 10 yards.
Yeah.
That whole 7 I was just telling you about where it goes dog leg left, around the corner, gentle, off the tee this way, then that's a downhill. That's 5 or 7 downhill.
Yeah.
You know, it's... there's a lot of holes like that, this and that. Not all that much, 2 or 3, 4, but yes. It's a good ball striker. Who's the best ball striker? Who do you like as a favorite?
Well, I mean, I was just starting to look at the early things, and you know, obviously Scheffler's playing really good right now, and he talks about how that's like his favorite golf course in the world.
Uh-huh.
One player that I really have my eye on that I'll probably you know, because I can be in the outright business now that I'm not looping full time. But I really fancy Patrick Cantlay next week.
He's a good ball striker, isn't he?
Good iron player, great bent grass putter. I don't know. I was going to ask you that. If you want to comment, you can. If there was any players you fancy.
No, I really haven't had a look at the field. I was recovering from the Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Oaks. That was a pretty good party, as you can imagine. Yeah. And I was home. Then I drove up here, but I haven't really had a look. But
well, we could probably get Sean McKeel a nice payout.
We would be probably 5,000 away, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Well, you guys make the cut and go make a little run at a top 10 or something like that. You never know.
Yeah, he was always a really good ball striker. You know, he was good at everything else generally, but his ball striking, iron play was always good. Good player. Hopefully he plays all right and we go to the senior PGA the week after and clean that one up.
Okay, and where's that at?
Yeah, Benton Harbor. I actually don't know the golf course, but in Benton Harbor, Michigan.
Gotcha.
Road. Yeah.
Okay, back-to-back, PGA, then senior PGA. That's great.
Yeah.
A few more, we'll get you out of here, Tony. I guess, what's your favorite Tiger Woods story or interaction or observation, you know, from your time on tour?
Favorite Tiger Woods story? In his debut in Milwaukee, I was working for Joe Daly. Remember Joe Daly?
Oh, yeah. Love Joe Daly.
Joe Daly. And we were paired with him on the Sunday when he had the hole-in-one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he gives me a high five. I go, boom, there you go. He's hit it. And I've thought, gee, this is going to be close. One bounce and popped in. Oh, there you go. It was close, all right. It went in.
That was the place went berserk.
And working with Joe, so that was good. And the other thing, we beat Woods in the World Match Play in the first round with Steve Williams on the back.
Really? When you were with who? With Sean?
Yeah.
That's a good win.
Yeah, he played pretty good, but Sean was just firing on all cylinders. And everything he hit, the line play was unbelievable. And he was putting good and they were going in. All of a sudden, you know, thanks for coming. We got you.
Yeah. So there's a couple moments, and I'm sure there's others you've been paired with him. I guess, what did you always notice when you were in the same group with him in terms of just how the atmosphere was different?
Well, the huge crowd, because the guy, as we all know, is phenomenal. He's best we've seen. You know what I mean? Mm. You don't win that many events on the trot for that long. You know, if he doesn't get injured and other stuff going on, he probably could have racked up 150. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
He's just that good. And you know, he's a good guy. And the best thing about him, he's a great guy when you pair with him in a group. He's a good guy. That's, people don't realize that. He's a really good guy.
Yeah.
When you pair with him.
Yeah. He looks out for the other guys in the group. He kind of
knows. Yeah, he talks to you. Oh,
yeah.
You know, he'd always give me a hard time, bust my balls. And I'd say, oh, really? I said, really? And you've got a Kiwi working for you, really? A New Zealander. Is that all you can do? Is that the best you can do, Kiwi? I'd give it to him straight back. He loved it. He'd go, fair enough.
Stevie had himself quite a career, didn't he?
Well, Stevie did have, he worked with some very good players, yes. Starting off and then working up and in Europe and everything else, you know.
Who's a player other than Tiger that's impressed you most in person over the years?
The bloke I always liked, was a big fan of, was Lee Westwood. As a nice fella and could flat out play.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to know him and he was a really nice guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was just good to watch.
Yeah, he hits that kind of like bullet cut, just repeat. And he's got his wife working for him now.
Yeah. And seems to be working out pretty good, you know, doing the job. So, and he's still, there's a guy who's 48 and a half or 49 and still playing phenomenal golf.
Yeah, I would think that Southern Hills actually might set up well for him. I'm assuming he's in the field. I mean, you could probably find some 100-1, you know, odds on a guy like Lee Westwood this week.
So who are your picks? Have you got your odds all set?
No, not yet. I just sticking with the Cantlay. My picks will be out as the week proceeds. I know people are on the edge of their seat waiting for them. We've hit a couple this year.
What about the Japanese fella? Mitsuyama is pretty handy with the sticks.
He hits it really good.
And what, Justin Thomas? What about him?
I really do like Justin Thomas as well. You know, he's playing as good as anyone right now. You know, and obviously Bones has seen that place a few times, and they have yet to win. You know, they're going to be, you know.
He's got to be close. If he doesn't win, he'll win. Sometimes, I mean, the guy can play.
Yeah. One guy that I always like seeing do well that I'm going to kind of fade, you know, is Rory. With those greens, the size that they are, and I just don't know if his iron and his short iron play is going to be up to snuff to be able to kind of be consistent enough.
Yeah, gotcha. I mean, you got to be. There's that, the greens, if you're hitting pitching wedges and 7, 8, 9s, you got to be spot on with those greens.
Yeah.
There's the slope on the greens. Yeah. I can't think of the hole, but there's one hole in the green. It's just back to front. And I said, where can you put the pin? They put the pin virtually in the same spot 3 days and one over here. I'm like, right. What? Because, and then if you're behind the pin, you're like, you're history, you know.
Yeah, I always love that about, you know, major championships. You know, I feel like you would get to these courses. They're the best golf course in the world most times. And you would see, you know, they're just more difficult courses and the terrain is more severe and there's just a lot more to manage. It's still golf. You have to keep it simple, but it seems like the penalties are more severe and then the precision that's required is elevated.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Especially in the majors. Well, because everything, you know, yes, you got to be spot on. Any slight error, boom, it bites you. And that's the trouble with it. But that's golf, though. But it, as you said, you got to keep it simple. Just keep it, plug it down the middle if you can. Hit a green, hit a, hit it on the green. I mean, it's not that hard a job, I don't think. But I'm only
to be a golfer.
Well, I think it'd be great to be a professional golfer, wouldn't it? Be good.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
It'd be a fantastic job, wouldn't it? We wouldn't be sitting here doing this.
No, to be a caddy, but to be a caddy, you're saying, you know, I mean, what's your general philosophy then? I mean, you're just, what are you trying to provide out there? What's your, how
general
do you go
philosophy
about
is always be positive. Come on, let's go. Right up. Good tee shot. Let's go. Right up. Need to hit a good one here. You know what I mean? I've always been with four holes to go. Come on, let's get a couple coming in. Come on, we'll get a couple coming in here. And it was funny because years ago, Sean said to me, JJ Henry said, boy, Tony's always positive. Isn't he? He always says, get a couple coming in. He said, he always says that to me, always. And I've always said to him, when we're in a good position, I said, we're in business here, mate. You know that, don't you? He goes, yes, we're in business. And I always say it to him. I've been saying it to him for years. He says, yes, we're in business. You know, so we're in a good position. So,
I love it. But
you've got to be positive. As a caddy, I mean, look, things can go wrong in a heartbeat. You know that. You've caddied a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The old best laid plans can go that way real quick. They can. And you just got to deal with what you got. But you've got to be positive about it. No point getting pissed off or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Well, then with that in mind, if you had to call one caddy to fill in for you for the week, you know, you can't be there last minute. You can call any caddy in the world. Who would you call?
I'd call you, Johnny Redhouse. You'd come out and do it for me.
I would come out and do it for me. I'd be available too. I wasn't fishing for that answer.
No, but I'll take it. Because I tell people that, you know, about all the tour caddies and yourself, because you've caddied a long time, they're all good. They're all good out there. They go, what about these guys up here at the top? I said, they're just working for good players. These guys over here are really just as good. I said, they do just as good a job as these guys.
Yeah.
You know, so all tour caddies. So I'd call you, right, Johnny, come on.
All right. I'd do a good job for you. I'd keep it real positive. I'd tell them, hey, let's get a few coming in here.
Get a couple coming in. Come on.
Let's get a couple coming in. I like it. Hey, Tony, thanks for taking some time out. Good luck at the PGA this week. It was great catching up with you.
Johnny, always good to talk to you, mate. Thanks for having me on.
We'll be back soon with another podcast, so please subscribe. And in the meantime, make sure to follow the Caddy Network on all your social media channels. I'm host John Radhouse. Thank you for listening.